97, please.
Direct the Chief Administrative Officer and the directors of the City Budget Office, Bureau of Transportation, and Portland Parks and Recreation to proceed with 7 Build Portland priority projects.
Colleagues, Build Portland is the means by which the city plans to address our infrastructure gap, which represents a significant long-term liability in Portland, as you're well aware. The gap is large. Staff charged with managing our infrastructure raised the alarm that $228 million more is needed each year for the next 10 years just to maintain the infrastructure that we have today. This gap is increased by tens of millions over the last 2 years because the costs increase as the conditions deteriorate. Fortunately, several urban renewal areas will expire over the next 10 years, returning tax increment finance to the city. The city has the opportunity to use a portion of this funding to address deferred maintenance. But having money isn't enough. We need a bigger multi-year vision. So, in the last year's proposed budget, I announced an infrastructure plan called Build Portland to commit at least $600 million of city resources by 2040 to make critical investments in our core infrastructure. The Portland Building Advisory Committee was directed to bring, by March 2018, a recommendation regarding a list of priority projects, a funding plan, and a timeline for council consideration. Deputy Chief Administrative Officer Carmen Merlo is here to do that. The first of the two time certain ordinances we're about to take up describes the Build Portland selection process and decision. The second authorizes the limited tax revenue bonds to provide interim financing for these important projects. I would also like you to read 298, please.
Authorize limited tax revenue bonds in an amount not to exceed $52 million to finance infrastructure improvements in city parks, transportation, civic, and other capital assets as contemplated in the city's Build Portland Infrastructure Initiative.
Very good. Carmen and Jennifer, welcome, and take it from here.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, Carmen Merlo, Deputy Chief Administrative Officer. With me is Jennifer Cooperman, Chief Financial Officer. And also behind me I have Director Scott Abate, and I believe Leah Treat, also available to answer any questions. Last October, City Council approved a resolution directing the CAO to continue implementation of the Build Portland Initiative. And specifically, it directed the CAO to form a Build Portland Advisory Committee no later than November 2017, whose role would be to develop eligibility criteria, funded projects, and to come back to Council by March of 2018 with a prioritized list of projects and a funding plan. In addition, it also required the CAO to produce an annual update to Council on the progress of implementing the Build Portland Initiative and to respond to issues raised by the former Chief Financial Officer, Ken Rust, and you'll be hearing a little bit more from CFO Jennifer Cooperman a little bit later. So there are three groups that have helped to guide and inform the Build Portland process, starting with the advisory committee. This is made up of the CAO as the chair, the chief financial officer, the directors of PBOT, Parks, City Budget Office, the asset managers, as well as several community advisors. And this committee met in November and in February of this year. The second committee that has been meeting monthly is the City Asset Managers Group, and their charge is to propose and evaluate the projects using the eligibility criteria that the advisory committee came up with. And then finally, a finance group that's led by Jennifer as well as the debt manager and CBO to develop a funding plan and timeline for implementation. So the advisory committee developed a two-step approach that projects must go through to be eligible for Build Portland funding. It primarily relies on a process previously adopted by the city as an effective way to allocate resources to the highest need projects, but it front-loads eligibility criteria with priorities identified by council, city bureaus, the asset managers, and Build Portland stakeholders. It then moves into a phase two, which uses the existing capital set-aside scoring criteria. So starting with the first step, The proposers go through a series of yes-no questions to find out whether projects maximize return on investment and reduce the city's major maintenance gap, whether the project invests in assets that are critical for delivering core services, whether there's reliable data to evaluate the asset condition, determining whether the project scores high on equity considerations, and making sure the projects comply with financing requirements of city financial policies. All the projects that answered yes to those questions were moved on to phase two. Again, this is using the existing capital set-aside criteria, which is primarily a risk and likelihood framework. So in total, 25 projects were submitted by Parks, PBOT, and our civic infrastructure. Of those projects, 20 made it to phase two. And then finally, the highest scoring projects, the top seven, were the ones identified for Build Portland funding. So you have the list of projects here. And again, I have the Director Abate and Treat here to answer any questions for you on these projects. I'd like to turn it over to Jennifer Cooperman to talk to you more about the funding plan.
So now that the projects have been identified, we will be looking to the bureaus responsible for these projects to submit spending schedules to the debt management group. And once we have those spending schedules and a level of certainty for the spend, we can come up with the appropriate way to finance. It will either be lines of credit if the construction period will be extended over a period of time, or direct issuance of long-term bonds up front if the spending certainty is relatively high. We will need a 3 to 6 month planning period prior to issuance of the financing mechanism, but that's the traditional approach that we take when bureaus come to the debt management group for any sort of financing.
Jennifer, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
One question that gets posed to me a lot about this program. People say, okay, great, I like the fact that you're being fiscally disciplined and you're finding resources to invest in infrastructure. But what about the debt? Are you concerned about the issuance of debt?
I'm concerned that we are issuing the debt prior to the return of the funds that the debt is being financed with. There is some risk to the city of our doing that, which is why in my memo the recommendation was that we intentionally take a phased approach to this. I am sensitive to and supportive of the aspirational goals of $600 million over a long period of time, but I think it would be irresponsible to commit today to that full
$600 million. And that's why we're spreading this over a 20-year period, so we can manage that risk.
Yes. And that why today we are presenting ordinances to you, a financing ordinance that looks just at the first 50 and just at the first seven projects. And the best way to manage expectations internally and externally will be to show success with this first phase and then revisit the returning revenues to the general fund, revisit other needs that may have come before council in that meantime, other legacy liabilities that the city has, and make another determination at the advisory committee and with council about what the best use is for those funds at that time.
And Jennifer, what is the best way or what strategies can we use to protect the credit rating? As we issue these bonds, obviously, we'll be concerned with the credit rating. What strategies are we using to protect the credit rating?
I'm going to invite Eric Johansson, debt manager, up to participate in the response to that. I'd say that the messaging that we are giving to the marketplace and to the credit agencies that we are taking a very intentional, slow approach with this, and that, quite frankly, we have these infrastructure needs today. We've had them for a very long period of time. They're no less today than they were before, and that the costs only increase if we wait to address the issue. So we're balancing the debt costs versus the additional infrastructure costs by waiting.
Great. And sorry, I couldn't resist letting my former job bleed this one a little bit.
Yeah. I would just add that we have conversations with the rating agencies on an ongoing basis. They're well aware of our debt policies that restrict the amount of limited tax bonds that we can issue, both those that are self-supporting and those that are not self-supporting. So fortunately, right now, we have a fair amount of cushion under those policies. You could see a situation where there's a lot of, between Bill Portland and a lot of the legacy liabilities, we may start to test those. So again, we'll make sure that we're having those ongoing conversations with the rating agencies and updating them on where we stand with respect to our policies.
Very good. And because of this incremental approach, if we ever got to the point, and I want to be clear, we're not there and we don't foresee getting there, but should changes take place in the marketplace and we see ourselves getting there with this incremental approach, we obviously have the ability to put on the brakes if necessary.
Yes.
Very good.
And as there are discussions about changes made to the URAs, we will also be reminding people about what promises have been made based on certain assumptions and what the impact might be of changes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Jennifer, I have a couple of questions. Which bureaus are eligible to compete for Build Portland projects?
The way the original resolution was written, it would be PBOT, Parks, the Civic Assets.
That's it.
So if the council wanted to expand to another bureau, we would have to amend the original ordinance? Or is that just how it's been interpreted?
It was a resolution that is the framework for the Build Portland program, so we would want to revisit the resolution.
So I've raised this with the mayor, and I'll discuss it with my colleagues at a later time, but when we come back to the discussion about unreinforced masonry buildings, mm-hmm. we do have a number of buildings that the city is a prime investor in, not the owner-operator, but a prime investor. And as I'm looking, and they are at risk of serious damage if in the event of a seismic event. And as I look at the criteria, it seems to me they would actually fit within a number of these. If they were evaluated based on these criteria, they would fit. The question is, does the council believe that qualifies as the kind of infrastructure that was contemplated with Build Portland? The truth is that there's going to be $20+ million of upgrades needed in projects that we fund where the nonprofit owner operator doesn't have the resources to upgrade the building. It seems to me my initial view is that it fits within the criteria, but it obviously has to be a council decision.
And the challenge for nonprofit owners will be the state constitutional limit against the lending of credit and our ability to use our monies to help finance non-city owners, private owners of those properties. Was the constitutional amendment?
It will be on the November ballot.
It will be on the November ballot for voters to opine on the ability for jurisdictions to issue general obligation bonds in those situations.
I see. So it's the color of money. It's the bond proceeds. We go back to the problem we have under the Constitution.
Right. So it may be we'll have to look differently at the properties that the city directly owns versus ones that we do not own. And there are different funding streams that we can take into account to reflect the color of money.
If we use the money to provide a revolving loan fund at a low interest rate, mm-hmm. would that get around the constitutional prohibition?
Not being bond counsel.
Right.
I always defer to bond counsel. My understanding is that it would not.
Okay. Right. And my second question is, the second biggest chunk that we're going to approve today is ADA accessible sidewalks. Mm-hmm. Is mm-hmm. that a down payment on the most recent lawsuit that was resolved, or is this part of the Bureau's forecasted work that needs to be done?
My understanding is that was part of the normal forecast of the Bureau and that the settlement arrangement was not contemplated as part of this, but I would want to defer to Director Treat.
Good morning. The $2 million annually out of this is to replace the ULF funding that was taken to fund Build Portland, so it's part of our regular work program for ADA ramps.
So it's independent of the lawsuit?
Completely separate.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Director Treat.
Sorry.
That's okay. I actually didn't see that in the presentation about that $2 million. My question is about the Leinstown Center improvements, $10.5 million. All the others seem very clearly to be retrofits and fixing stuff that's been built and is broken. That sounds more like an improvement than a fixing what's broken. Tell me about that.
I'm so sorry. Give me just one quick second. I've left my
notes. My apologies. And I apologize for not asking the question ahead of time. I just noticed it.
So the Lentz Town Center project actually will include paving on Foster, on Woodstock, and we'll do signal upgrades and sidewalk improvements, pedestrian crossings, and bikeways. So both the pavement and the signals are 20 years beyond their useful life, so it's a significant infrastructure upgrade.
And may as well do the rest while we're at it.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Does that complete your presentation?
Yeah.
Very good.
No.
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 No, it does not.
But
okay.
More.
That's not all you get.
So last but not least, this last slide is the information that we will be requesting from the bureaus who have projects that will be approved. This is normal information that we would look for when issuing financing to support capital improvements in the city. So just for your benefit, this is the sort of information that we will be requiring. That's the end of the presentation.
And I have to respond to that memos.
Well, I already did. So I can, I submitted to your offices separately a written response to the concerns that prior CFO Ken Rust entered into the record last fall regarding this program. I'm happy to review the memo for you, but the bottom line is that there is risk associated with issuing the debt prior to the return of the funds to the general fund. I think it's manageable, and again, I would certainly hope that we are taking this intentional phased approach and issue $50 million plus issuance costs for these initial projects, and then have successful projects, and then revisit where we are at the conclusion of those projects for the next phase.
And I'd just add to that that the risk is known of not doing anything.
It is, but I want to be very mindful of the debt burden that we are placing on the city, and reinforce that as we look to adjust URAs. This financing plan is built on certain assumptions, and as we tinker with those assumptions, we want to investigate what the implications of those changes are, and we will bring those back to you.
Excellent.
Yeah, I have every confidence that you will keep us informed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a public testimony on either of these items?
We have two people signed up.
Very good.
Philip Sellinger and Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Phil Sellinger. I'm here today representing the Northwest District Association Board and Transportation Committee. That is the neighborhood association for the northwest part of the city. And I'm here to solicit your support for the reconstruction of Northwest 23rd Avenue north of Lovejoy Street, which has been a priority of both the city and the neighborhood for a long time. As you know, Northwest 23rd Avenue is a designated main street serving the Northwest Town Center. This is a high-density, mixed-use growth area. We're seeing rising truck and automobile traffic. It's used by TriMet frequent bus service and emergency vehicles accessing Legacy Good Samaritan Hospital. The street is failing, and it's failing quite quickly. It's been on at least our priority list and the city's list for quite some time, keeps getting deferred. It's been patched, but the underlying structure is failing. The south end of the street has been reconstructed under an earlier program up to Lovejoy Street, but the north end is a mess. It's hazardous for pedestrians, for people and mobility devices. And I might also mention that one in four of the residents of this area live in poverty, according to the last U.S. Census. So we're disappointed to see that it didn't make this first round under Build Portland, but we think it needs to be funded either in the next round or with a capital set-aside program. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just go on record saying I agree with you, and sooner rather than later would be better.
Exactly.
Thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. Again, Mayor, I commend you on this, the $600 million that you've put out there and are trying to do, and we'll see where it goes. Now, pertaining to the bonds, it's my understanding that that would require a vote by the public. Now, if I'm incorrect on that, they can state that to me. Now, also, some of the concerns I have on the bond is that I'm always a little bit concerned on doing the interest only up front and not buying down the principal. So I have a little bit of concern on that till the URAs kick in a few years later. So I understand you're being a little bit cautious on the overall debt, but I always have a problem with just paying interest only and not taking down the principal. So that is a concern to me just from my position. Also, you know, when I always bring up the number on the current assets of about $35 billion, I always have a problem on acquiring assets but not having the maintenance plan in place to make sure our infrastructure doesn't become deferred and we have to come back with this type of money. And one of the reasons why I say that is that at this time we are in a market that is as good as I think it's going to get as far as real estate values. And I've always, even at the Historical Society, when you were trying to become the mayor, I said to you directly, I said, why don't we look at doing something on the overall assets and maybe trim a little bit off the top? And the reason why I said that is that I think it's the right time to look at that. If we do sale leasebacks on certain properties with long-term leases that we can renew from the city and just have money sitting there that we can utilize in infrastructure, but we don't actually give up the properties themselves on a long-term basis. There's a lot of areas to look at on maybe giving them a reasonable return, but being able to take our equity and utilize it back into the infrastructure, and that way we don't get too over-leveraged on the debt. And I, as a state treasurer, you know the direction I'm going on this. Maybe it's an opportune time to look at that. And again, because paying down just interest only is a concern to me. I don't like to pay interest only on anything. I want the principal to be bought down. So other than that, I think everything else looks good here. And again, I commend you on your efforts on this and the $600 million. I commend you on this, and I think it will be successful, and keep moving forward on it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And just so you know that your participation in that event wasn't for naught. I remember you sitting off on the left-hand side and having that conversation with
yes.
you. When we go through some of these major redevelopments that are before the city, like the Broadway corridor, that strategy is very much on the table.
Okay.
So I just want you to know that there has been a lot of thinking about that. And in terms of the interest only, as a principle, I agree with you. In this case,
right.
In terms of prudent management of the debt, I think it's the right near-term strategy.
Yes.
But I want you to know that over the long term, I agree with you.
And if I might add something real fast, I'm only talking a small percentage off the top of the capital assets, which I think due to the market increase in the last few years would be beneficial to maybe do that. And also that takes away from our maintenance responsibilities on some of those properties and transfers it to the investment group.
That's right.
And thank you for
yeah.
your time.
Spot on. Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm Shedrick Wilkins. And on the issue of city parks, I want our parks to be maintenanced. But I have a different version of what a city park is. I think the stock market is crashing, and I do support people sleeping in parks. And so they can get out of the rain. It'll take years for the government to respond. I do think positively of memories of Occupied Portland, which is a park out here. They did try to feed people. They tried to get outreach for homeless people. They just got a bad bunch of people that went up and busted out bank buildings. But we need to use parks, okay? I'm also picking up word that any kind of ideas like a Terminal One shelter or the foster shelter is running into complications from the neighborhood. But remember this, don't blame people for camping in parks. Blame the stock market.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you, for your testimony. So we will do this in two parts. First of all, does anybody have any further questions of staff? So let's call the roll on the resolution, please. That's number 297.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for leading this effort. When Portlanders have been paying taxes into urban renewal districts to get growth coming for decades, and now it's time for some of that return to go back into the things that Portlanders expect, which is paying for the existing infrastructure and making sure that everybody has decent city services. And that's what this program does. I very much support setting aside part of the so-called boomerang funds that are coming back into the general fund. I think we need to be very intentional on what we do with the rest of them. I'm pleased to see many of the transportation improvements. Obviously, that's got the biggest gap in service, despite the gas tax. We're still... got a lot of needs to fix our roads, fix our streets, and so I'm pleased to see those. I am also happy to see a complete renovation of the Mount Scott Community Centre on the list of improvements. The roof is failing, the central heating and cooling is failing, the building is not seismically upgraded, and so in the event of a big earthquake or a natural disaster, it's not safe. And so this is going to give it the facelift that it deserves, well, not just the facelift, the complete renovation that it deserves. Thanks to Director Michael Barte and his team, Chris Silkie and others, for their work putting this together and participating. You would think that the Bureau directors would have been gung-ho to get, fighting for the money for their particular assets, and certainly they advocate for that. Thanks to the City Budget Office and the City Treasurer and City Chief Financial Officer and others. It's been a process where it's been very intentionally looked at what are the worst, the most urgent, and the biggest bang for the buck, including what are the equity considerations. And so while I hear the gentleman from Northwest District Association that there are a lot of other projects needing doing, we know it's $500 million worth of projects that need doing. And this process was designed to look at things objectively and try to fix the things that are most urgently needed, recognizing that even with this program, we're not done, and that we need to, within the bureaus, within the city, intentionally look at what are we spending the taxpayers' money on, are we spending it wisely, and how can we invest it so that we maintain what we have as well as providing things for places that don't have them. So thank you very much, everybody, for the work that you're doing on this. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Mayor Wheeler, thank you for leading this effort. This is a big lift, and it's a big, big idea, and I'm proud to support today's initial allocation. I want to thank Jennifer Cooperman and team for providing a cautious framework for our next steps. And that's important because this council cannot bind future councils. We are borrowing against future revenue, and we don't know what the economy is going to look like a week from now, a month from now, or whenever. So I appreciate the caution, and it's one of the reasons why I strongly support the idea of a phased approach. Because a phased approach allows us to sort of make an investment and then pause and assess where we are and make sure we're on the right track. But this would not be happening without the mayor's leadership, and so I'm grateful for that, and I'm pleased to support this effort. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I do want to thank Mayor Wheeler for his leadership on this and also for the team that's helped get these projects going. And I appreciate the notes of caution also. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I'd like to thank the team that made this happen. I appreciate the thanks, but there were others who did the lion's share of the work on this. The CFO, the treasurer, the city budget office put a tremendous amount of work into this. All of the bureau directors were asked to jump through quite a lot of hoops to help prioritize these projects. So while I appreciate the thanks, really they did all the hard work. to help make this a reality. And I think it's a great start. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. With regard to 298, the authorization of limited tax revenue bonds, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you.